We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to the RotoWire Prospect Podcast. I'm your host, James Anderson. Not going to be talking many prospects at all today, but we will be recapping how our 2022 fantasy leagues went. And my guest is the great Ian Kahn of The Athletic. Ian, how you doing?
I'm good, man. It's, you know, I'm pretty sure we started the season together.
Yes.
You and I in this very same spot at the beginning of, I think it was the first podcast of the season, which I was very grateful to be on, and to be with you on this last one is just a real great honor. You know, you and I were partners, man. And I miss being partners with you in leagues when the RDI folded. But you know, you're still one of my best friends in this game for sure. And somebody who I look to first. Yeah. I look to you first when it comes to all prospects. Anytime I see a guy that I'm like, whoa, I like this guy, I go right to your list. And I just sort of say, what does my man think of this guy? And then I go, okay, bring it on. Look at that. So it's just really great to be with you. And I thank you a lot.
Well, yeah, that means a lot to me. And I mean, you are coming off of your best fantasy baseball season ever, I think. Would you agree with that?
I think so. Yeah. I think this is the best one I've had. So yeah. Yeah.
And that's, that's saying a lot, cause you've had some good ones. And just a year ago, you set the record for points in AL labor, and we'll talk about that league in a bit, but for you to follow that up with an even more impressive year. And I know that you kind of got more and more into the NFBC side of things and had a great success there with Robert Mrshak in the main event. Just a hell of a year, man. So congrats on that. Let's start with the main event. We'll get to Tout Wars. We'll get to Devil's Rejects. We'll get to labor. We'll talk about how I did. But what was the experience like this year in the main event?
I really didn't want to do the main event. And the reason I didn't want to do the main event was I didn't want the game to change for me. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't want to put too much money down because I felt like I enjoy the game so much. It's not how I make a living, but it's something that I just enjoy. And I didn't want to do it for the money. And so, you know, and people would give a hard time, like, oh, you know, industry guys can't play in the main event, right? They don't play in the main event. And I was always like, yeah, you know, I don't. And then Robert Mrshak, who is my partner now in a number of leagues, and who's a wonderful man and just a great guy and a good friend. And he just said, we got to do the main event this year. And I was like, I don't want to do it. And he's like, we got to do it because we got to show, you know, you got to play in the biggest, is it the biggest game? I mean, I don't know. To me, labor, AL, tout, NL, GDD, devils. I mean, they're all big. They're all great. But so I said, well, I just don't want to invest the money. And it's not necessarily that I couldn't afford it. It was more, I didn't want to afford it. I didn't want to put in $850 or whatever it is. Because if it went bad, I was going to be like, oh, this sucks. So he's like, look, just give me whatever you want towards it. I'll pay the rest. And then you take that percentage as your winnings if we win. And I was like, all right, if we do it like that, you know, I'll throw in $400 and it's like doing a 400, you know, draft champions, same thing. And then, so we did it. And so I said, okay, I'll do it. And also I was like, all right, can you really play against the best players? Yeah. I mean, yeah. And so we get our league assignment and it's Tyler Young and Phil Dussault. And it was just a packed league. And Rob was like, oh no, we got Phil Dussault. I was like, good. We got Phil Dussault. That's what we want. That's what you want. You want to play against Phil's probably, you have to say Phil's the best player, just what he's pulled off all these years. So we just worked our tail off and we had the 15th pick and we had done one, we had done a 400 or 150 with the 15th pick. So we had had a little practice at it. And then we really like, we busted our butts in preparation for the draft and we did really well and we got really lucky. So we stayed away from pitching until the fifth, sixth round, which was the plan. I wasn't interested in any pitcher at 15. So we took Betts and Devers 15, 16. And then when it came back around, we were like, maybe Cedric Mullins will fall to us or maybe Aaron Judge will fall to us. And they both fell to us. So we started our top four with Betts, Devers, Mullins, Judge. And then in 5, 6, we took Logan Webb, and then Yu Darvish. And it was a question of whether we were going to take Darvish or Manoah. And we ended up going with Darvish. And I was kind of down about that. I was like, I really like Manoah this year. But Rob was like, no, Darvish. And so we did. We took Darvish. And so that was the base of the team. And then we got a bunch of really good players later in the draft at really good spots, like Rizzo, I think, in the 16th and Jeremy Pena in the 21st. And we built a really, really good team together. And then about, I guess it was about a month in, we had climbed to the top of our league and we were really cruising. And Rob was like, hey, you want to, I'm going to split it with you anyway. Like, I'm going to split whatever we win with you 50-50. I was like, no, that's not the thing. He said, no, I get 24% or whatever the number is. He goes, no, you get 50%. So I was like, all right, well, then I'm paying you the rest of the money now. And he goes, you don't have to do that. I'm just going to give you. I said, no, I'm going to pay the rest of the money. So gave him the rest of the money. And then we played it out and We did well. And we had some really good pickups along the way. I was talking to Eno Saris last night to call him to congratulate him on AL Labor, which was a phenomenal performance, which I think we're going to talk about later on the show. And we were talking about like things to learn for next year with NFBC. One of the great things also was I got to know Phil Dussault over the course of the year. So I reached out to him right after our draft and I was like, yo, I'm Ian Khan. And we had followed each other and congratulated each other last year. And I like, you know, James, I like to get on the phone with people. I like to learn from people. I highly recommend that. Like, go talk to the best players in the game, and if you can, and try to learn from them. And so over the course of the season, Phil and I developed a good friendship, which at a certain point he was like, you're going to win this league. Like, you've got this, you guys have this league salted. I hope you go for the overall. And so we did. And we started going for the overall in June. Like, we were focusing all of our attention on the overall, which was, I think, a little stupid, actually. Like, we just got really lucky with largely with injuries. Like, it really. And then at the last week, we were up to fourth place in the overall, I think. I think we got to fourth on Saturday. And then we had to make a decision about which way do we go for it. And Dussault said to me, he said, look, if you're in that, I spoke to him about a week and a half ago. He said, if you're in fourth, fifth place, the downside of taking risks, because I don't play with a lot of risk with starting pitchers. Like, I don't want it. I don't want any, I'm not streaming anybody, period. I'm not a streamer. I don't believe in it. I don't want 2-star pitchers. Never. I just don't want it. I'm not going to do it. And he said, in this last weekend, when you get to the end, the downside of going from fifth to ninth is the difference between like 20,000 to like 10,000. Or something like that. It was like 15,000 to like 9,000. Or if you got up to third, you go from 15,000 to 30,000. So he's like, it just makes sense to take the risk. So we did. And we put in, I don't even remember the guy's name. And I probably should remember it for the rest of my life. But Davis Martin, is that who it is for Chicago? Yep. So Davis Martin, we had him going last night. We had him going yesterday. 9 runs in 1 2/3 and dropped us down to 9th place. Overall, but that was okay because it was the thinking on it was sound. So we ended the season, we played against the best players in the NFBC, And we really had a we had a good year. We got very, very fortunate, is all I'll say. I mean, we never took a week off. And playing with a partner is really valuable. I highly recommend it. Rob DiPietro is always like, how do you do that? How do you play with partners? Like, I don't know how you could do that. It drives me crazy. I can't, you know. But if you can figure out a way to partner well, and James, you and I used to partner great, it just makes you better. And having working with Rob every week, boom, 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 it just made all the difference. And we had a good season. We didn't win. We didn't win the whole thing, but we showed pretty well.
I mean, I think just winning a main event league in itself, regardless of where you finish in the overall, is a hell of an accomplishment. And to finish ninth in the overall and win a league, I mean, that's a feat that most people aren't going to top in an entire lifetime of playing fantasy baseball. So a hell of a first time showing for you guys. Surprised. I'm not surprised. I mean, especially, you were high on the right guys this year. And I'm jealous of your strategy, in hindsight. I wish that I hadn't taken any starting pitchers in the first four rounds or so of any of my NFBC drafts, because I had enough pitching to win any league this year in pretty much all my NFBC leagues, and I just didn't have enough hitting in a few spots. So I'm jealous of that strategy. I think that's in hindsight a great strategy for this past season, and it's something I might think about heading into next year.
I'll tell you, man, I just didn't like anybody in that first 45 players. And I liked the 5-6 turn so much for the pitchers. Right. And if you know that, it's like, do I want to invest in a court? Like Walker Buehler was there at 15. And I was like, I think he was there at 15, or we were in, you know, we had so many discussions. What if it goes this way? What if it goes this way? What if this guy falls? I was just like, we're not taking Walker Buehler. We can't do it. I don't trust him. I don't want him. I don't want to invest in a pitcher like that. And then it's like, yeah, but then you get somebody like, you know, I'm looking at next year. We're looking at next year now. Like literally yesterday, as soon as the season was over, Rob and I hopped on and, you know, we licked our wounds from the drop on the final day. And then we sort of went, all right, so what about next year? What are we looking at? And I'm looking at like Sandy Alcantara at 16, who you were on before. I mean, I owe you for Alcantara, man, because it was, I think, 3 years ago. You were like, Ian, Alcantara, dude. I was like, really? And you're like, I'm telling you. And now look at him, and I've got him, and I have him in a couple of dynasty leagues because of that. But do I want to invest that at the 16, 15, 16? Do I want that over Vlad Guerrero? Or over Mookie Betts will not be able to get him at 15 again, no. but you can get Devers at 15, 16. So we're starting to talk about that. I feel like we can find the pitching. I think that if you, you know, one of the big successes of the season in both this and NL Tout Wars was picking up Spencer Strider in April. I think you and I talked about him, and I told you, I was like, there's this guy who, and it was just from reading the box scores. And I was looking for somebody who had somebody like in AL Tout. I had Garrett Whitlock going. He was going 3 innings, 5 strikeouts. I was like, it's got to be a guy doing that in the NL. And so I went and I watched film. That's what I do. I go watch film. And I read the box scores and I said, who's Spencer Strider? 3 innings, 5 strikeouts, no hits, no walks. What? So I went back and I literally watched the 5 strikeouts because they have, you know, on the MLB app, you can go press the button and then you see the 5 strikeouts. And I was like, whoa, that's electric. What the hell's going on? And then I went back to the game and watched every inning and watched how he was thinking and watched how he was holding himself and, you know, how he was, which is so much of how I play the game, is I'm watching the psychology of the players to decide how I feel about them. And I was like, oh my God, I just saw the best pitcher that I've seen. Like, he's the best pitcher. And so just grab him. And that's how we supplemented it. And then Hunter Green, we picked up Hunter Green in June. When he came back off of injury, like when he first came up, we invested in those guys. So instead of investing in 2-star pitchers ever and saying, hey, I want to get the 2 starts this week, we were just looking for the best pitcher best pitcher every week, because then they hit and you hold and they just roll. So we were low in strikeouts. Our hitting went nuts at the beginning of the season. Our hitting was crazy because Devers was ridiculously hot. Judge went, you know, Judge, we had Judge too. I mean, you know, we did have Aaron Judge on that team, but at the same time, it was the pickups. It's all about the pickups. You know, Dussault, his genius season in 2021, if you look at his draft, it was good, okay. It was his pickups. It's the pickups. It's what happens on Sunday. It's what happens on Saturday and Sunday. It's the choice. As an actor, you know, I used to be an actor full-time, and now I'm on sabbatical from acting, which is great. But as an actor, like, the talent is in the choice that you make as an actor. Like, what do you want to do with that sentence? What do you want to do with this line? As a fantasy baseball player, the talent is in the choice in what you put down for the number in your fab and who you pick. That's where the talent comes in. It's about the choices you make. That's it.
Yeah. And I, when I said, you know, I don't think, like Todd Whitestone, my partner for the NFBC, he, you know, we were going through our pitcher hits, and the only pitcher that we took in any of our three leagues that we really regretted, or starting pitcher that we took in any of our three leagues that we really regretted, was the highest pitcher we took in any of our three leagues. And that was Lucas Giolito, in like one league. And, but the rest of our hit or the rest of our pitchers were hits.
Who were the rest of the pitchers that you guys were in on? And Todd, great guy, loved his weekly articles, but who were the guys that you were targeting at the beginning of the season?
I mean, we had Manoa, pretty much everywhere. We had Nestor Cortez pretty much everywhere.
Yeah.
Just
you had Nestor and AL Labor too. Yeah, that's my guy, dude. That's my Yankee dude. Cortez.
We picked up Strider in one of those leagues. But like the main, what I was kind of gonna say is, it's not that everyone should just be like, oh, I'm gonna take middle round pitching. You have to take what you have to play to your strengths, right? And I think my biggest strength is just getting good starting pitching after the first few rounds. And so I have to factor that in. If your strength is really, you know, hammering mid-round hitters, then it might make sense to go for a Sandy Alcantara or something like that. But absolutely. I mean, I think you have to play to your strengths. And I got sort of 85% of the way there this year. I got all my saves in the draft. That worked out great. I was listening to one of your more recent pods, and you guys were talking about whether or not to pay up for the best catchers. That paying up for catchers really paid off for me this year, but that's
Real Muto. Did you pay up?
Yeah, a lot of Real Muto, a lot of Smith, a lot of Varsho.
Varsho. I was dead wrong on Varsho, man. I was so wrong on Varsho.
On my two, I won two of my 14 NFBC leagues this year, and on both of the winners, I had a Real Muto Varsho double up, I want to say.
I remember at the beginning of this year, dude, you and I were talking on the show, I think, and you were saying, I'm all in on Varsho. And I was like, no, don't do that. Why are you doing that? And that's why you did that. That was a really, really great play. You have to, that's a tip of the hat to you, man. And Real Muto both. That was an interesting conversation about on the show that I do with Derek Van Riper, who also won Tout Wars this year. And Maki, which was kind of fun. The old league. He and I got into a really good with Nando DeFino, Derek, and myself called Under the Radar on the Athletic Fantasy Baseball podcast. Usually comes out Wednesday. We were going to do it today, but Nando can't do it. So we're doing it early next week. It'll be our sort of end of the season show. But we were talking about catchers and relief pitchers and whether, like, where do you choose to deeply invest? It's interesting. You know, it is endlessly interesting, fantasy baseball. And who knows? Look, I was really sure that I didn't want to pay for starting pitching this year. I didn't like anybody at their price. I didn't want Corbin Burns at 5. I definitely didn't want Garrett Cole at 3 or 6, you know, but I don't know how it's going to look next year yet. Because Dylan Cease is remarkably good. Shane McClanahan, remarkably good. Two players that Eno Saris carried him to his championship. So it really depends on the price, as R.L. Cohen would say. It's you know, it's where are they landing? Because if everybody takes this tack now, right, and says, all right, well, let's go back to the old school ways of fantasy baseball, and we're just going to do hitter, 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 and then all of a sudden you get to pick 31, and Dylan Cease is sitting there. I may not want to do a pitcher at 31, but the value of Cease at 31 versus Cedric Mullins, who might be at 31 and might be the next best hitter, I'm taking Dylan Cease in that spot. You know, I mean, that's just an example, but it's the values are constantly changing on these players. So it worked out to plan in for us in the main event. Like literally every two picks, we got just about everybody we wanted. We wanted Carlos Rodon at the 5-6, but he went a little bit earlier. But like later, we had a plan. We were going to take Gleyber Torres and Chris Taylor at 11-12 to get the dual eligibility from both spots. I think it was 11-12 or something like that. And we got them there. You know, like we mapped it out because it's $1,700, man. So that's a lot of dinners. And that's why I didn't want to do it. Cause I was like, if I lose, it's going to suck. Like you can win every other league with all the other winnings this year. It's not going to come up to $1,700, you know, cause the money, but this is a lot of money, but you know, it ended up working out. We ended up getting lucky this year.
Yeah. I had my highest finish in a main event, finishing second. But I really wanted to win that league badly just to get my first main win. Mark Cerebro, Gecko Industries took that down. Todd and I had been kind of battling with him for first for like the last 3-4 months, and we just didn't have enough hitting in the end. And you know, that was tough. That's something I'm desperate to do is win a main event league, and you guys were able to do it in your first year doing it. So that's really cool.
But you know what? Can I say something about, first of all, you're going to win 62 over the course of the next, you're a young guy, man. You're going to win many, many mains because you're one of the best players that I know and that I've ever seen. And you have the upside and the advantage of being the prospect guy who knows every one of these players. And I've lessened my dynasty like focus this year happily. But it's a huge advantage. It's a huge advantage that you have more than anybody to know, like, no, I'm going to have all of these pitchers that nobody else really knows about. I'm going to be able to pick them up. But here's what I wanted to say. I found in the main first time, so it may be different, but from what I found, it's a lot easier to find pitching on the wire than it was to find everyday at-bats. Guys who have everyday regular jobs, those are harder to find than guys who might pop up and all of a sudden, like Reed Detmers, we picked up Reed Detmers for that wonderful little section in August where he just went, you know, batty. And Jose Suarez for that really great section in September that he went crazy. Those guys are available. And if you're watching, I watch film, you know, Rob puts up a player and I say, let me watch him. And I watch him and I say, ooh, that's the guy. Look at him. He's really good. So from my perspective, you can make up pitching points a lot easier than hitting points. Trying to catch up in home runs and RBI and stolen bases and average and runs is really hard. It's just really hard to do. Really hard to move that needle.
And that was my weakest. Like I said, I mean, the pitching was there in pretty much every league. Speed was there in pretty much every league, but just didn't leave the draft with enough of those four category offensive anchors. And I mean, it's kind of an accomplishment, like to have, like I was profitable this year. Maybe not if you break it down. I forget who tweeted something to this effect last night, but like it probably breaks down to about a
dollar
about
a day,
dollar an hour.
Yeah, I think that was Corbin who posted that. I was like, yeah, that's about right.
But you know, having a profitable year with zero Aaron Judge shares on any of my teams, I feel like is an accomplishment.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But like, you know, looking ahead to next year, like, you know, I loved Austin Riley. But I ended up with him.
James, you loved Austin Riley 5 years ago. You said, we got to get Austin Riley. I was like, really? You said he's going to be a stud, a stud. Remember? And then we drafted him, I think, in like the 9th, 10th round.
We took, did we take him and Jordan Alvarez like in the
middle? No, we traded for Jordan Alvarez.
Or we traded for
Jordan Alvarez. Okay. Late in that season, and then we had to flip Jordan. It's just sad, you know, these dynasty trades, they live with you forever. But no, you had Austin Riley going from before he was, I mean, and I never trusted him. I never thought, I've never been a Riley guy. But I, in the back of my head, I've also always been, well, James loves him. And so every time I saw him, I'm like, good job, James. You had that one. Well,
my point on Riley was, you know, and there's going to be players, like, I mean, I liked Pete Alonso this year, but like it's just not ending up with enough of those guys because of the fact that they weren't going to help with speed is something I just have to get better at. Because if you're confident a guy is going to have a monster year and they're going around later than they should, which is how I would kind of describe Riley or Alonso this past year, then you have to just be willing to take that production. And I mean, if you have to be willing to go get the speed, you know, later. And speed, I think, that's probably my biggest adjustment is like, I didn't take that much high starting pitching. So that's not even that big of an adjustment. But I just think there was way more speed on the wire this year than.
And there's going to be more speed now.
Right.
Yep. There's going to be much more speed now because of the change in the rules. So, but what did you do with the top four? Tell me what the top six picks were in the second place main event team. How did that go? Top six. And what position were you in when you started it?
I'm going to pull it up. Cause I'm on a different computer here. But it'll just take me a second. So I did not regret taking early speed in the first round, but it was the early speed in the other rounds that didn't work out great. All right, I almost got it pulled up.
What pick were you in this league? 5, 4?
We were, let's see. Gosh, this is terrible radio. I'm gonna head to a message from our sponsors here, and then I'll hopefully have that pulled up.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So Rare MLB is an NFT-based free-to-play baseball game played with officially licensed Major League Baseball cards. Sign up today at sorare.com/MLB and you'll receive 13 common cards to start your collection. Build 7-player lineups from cards in your collection and play weekly competitions with scoring based on real-life player performance. Compete for rewards with other fans around the world. For more information on gameplay and to sign up, visit sorare.com/MLB. There's no better time to join SoRare than ahead of their postseason gameplay. So I remember it was Betts, and then we took Luis Robert, I think, with our second pick. Jordan what Romano pick did you have? Was like our. I think we were picking 14th.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I think it was just one of those years where we didn't leave the draft with enough.
It's the Jordan Romano pick.
And home runs.
It's the Jordan Romano pick. Like, I just don't know that and great players were doing it, right? And I think
I don't regret the Jordan Romano pick.
Yeah, but the issue I have is the saves. I don't know if I like early saves like that. And Romano's awesome. Romano's brilliant. But I argue, I think that's, I don't know. I mean, everyone was so concerned about saves, and especially this particular season, because it was like, are you gonna, you know, we don't know. We didn't have the regular spring training. And so it was like the top 10 guys were the guys. And if you didn't get one of those guys, you were screwed. But so I don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the Robert pick was bad. Jazz Chisholm in the fifth, you know, he got hurt.
That's just hurt.
But we got Nestor and Lodolo super late in this league.
That's good, man.
But yeah, just not enough, like didn't hit on any of the sort of like Goldschmidt, Judge, Riley types kind of in round 3-4.
Yeah, and also so you came in second place, so it's not like you came in ninth or 14th place with this team, mm-hmm. and you lost, you know, freaking Louis Robert.
I mean, I would have preferred him to just have a season ending injury in May, honestly.
Such
a headache all season long.
I was out on that player just because I don't trust that he would stay healthy. Like, it just didn't feel, it's so much of it is risk assessment. Sorry, that's my little Ariel Cohen. But yeah, again, gotta be mindful of risk. Can't take risk players. And that's Louis Robert has that. Jazz Chisholm, that's just bad luck, right? I don't mind that start, because if you had a full season from Jazz and you had a full season from Louis Robert with everything else that you had going on, you're winning that league. It's not even close. You know, so much of this is we got very fortunate.
You know, want to know just a really super random like way that Todd and I were looking at our season. So we came in second in our main, second in our OC, and then fifth in our other main. If we had Royce Lewis on all three teams, if Royce Lewis just doesn't get injured, I think we win both of those leagues that we came second in. And Royce Lewis is just such a forgotten man at this point, right? But like,
can I ask you just a sidebar for a question for a minute on, in terms of Royce Lewis, Steve Gardner and I play in the XFL. We have Royce Lewis being able to be kept on a, I always call you about big trades. Thank you again for Julio Rodriguez. It's because of you that trade went through. When I don't think I mentioned this on the show in April, but I did mention it on my show. We made a trade with Tristan Cockcroft and Eric Carabel. I was driving home from Washington, D.C. in November, and we were trying to make a trade to get Julio Rodriguez. And I call and I was like piling on all of these assets to Tristan and Eric trying to get it done. And we couldn't quite do it. And he was like, not quite. And so I just called James Anderson on the phone and I say, James, so we're in talks to trade for Julio Rodriguez. That's cool. All right. So here's my question for you. I need a comp. Give me a comp on Julio Rodriguez. Like, and not like, you know, just give me like an honest comp. I don't need ceiling. I just want like, what's the comp? He pauses for about 5 seconds and he says, Juan Soto. And I went, what? I'm literally driving in the car. He goes, it's Juan Soto. That's my comp. And I went, Are you kidding? I said, not the ceiling. I just want like the comp. Juan Soto. Sorry, I got to go. I call Tristan and I'm like, all right. So what else do you need here? You want that second round pick? He's like, yeah, I need the second round pick. If we're going to, I said, okay, you got the second round pick. We'll do it. And now we have Julio Rodriguez for the next 12 years in that league, which is very, very awesome. So thank you, James. And you were dead right. And I thought you were crazy, but I said, if James says it, then it's true. And James and Julio Rodriguez is top on my dynasty list right now. Number one on my dynasty list, Royce Lewis. You've had him anywhere from number two on your prospect list at the beginning of the season. He was at number two at some point when he first was getting ready to come up, and then when he came up, he was at number two. Did he even go to number one for a minute?
No, he hasn't been at one.
But he was at two, right? Am I right about that?
He was at two after he was in the majors and
for a week.
It was transferring, right? Like, so, I was bullish on him having a nice rebound if he made it all the way back healthy, and he did, obviously. I mean, he was playing great, and so like that was all I needed to see to push him up to number two.
Was Carroll one at that time? Did you have Carroll at one? Yeah, that makes sense. That's right.
So yeah, Lewis was two in late May. On RotoWire, you can see like a player's prospect ranking history, and his ranking history is just
ridiculous.
It's just a straight line of being basically the fifth to 12th best prospect from February 2018 till that injury.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got back up there, obviously. And now I've got him at 14 on my latest update.
Okay. So you have him at 14. So then it's a no-brainer. It's not just a no-brainer keeper, but it's a no-brainer. Like, you think he comes back. What is Royce Lewis? He's going to come back probably in May or June of next year. You'd have to think he's going to go back down. He's going to fully recover by April is what I think I read. Then he's going to have to go back down, do it again for a couple of minutes. And then he comes back up. And then who is he? Here we go. What is the comp for Royce Lewis?
Well, I don't have any real concerns about, like, I think what he showed us in the majors is just what he is.
Wow.
But I just, my main concern is just that he re-injures the knee after he comes back. Like, sure. I don't think there's performance risk here.
Okay, so let's take out the injury for a minute. We're taking out the injury. Royce Lewis, it's 2026. Royce Lewis's knee is fully healed. There hasn't been a question. We've taken away the injury risk on Royce Lewis. What is his comp?
He's always reminded me of Mookie Betts for fantasy, but not with that type of OBP. Like, Betts always had those, he would have just crazy K to walk rates where he was just walking 11% of the time, striking out 13% of the time. Like, that's not Royce Lewis. So almost sort of like a Tim Anderson, Mookie Betts type of blend. Mm-hmm.
What position will he be playing?
I think shortstop. I mean, they don't have a shortstop.
Correa. What if Correa comes back?
I don't think he's coming back. I'd love to get your thoughts on Correa. Did you see like Correa's quote about being a free agent? And
no, I didn't see it. What did he say? What's the gist?
Well, he said that he's the product. When he walks into the Dior store at the mall, he just buys what he wants for whatever they're asking for it. And he thinks that that's what he is, and that the Twins or whoever need to just meet his asking price.
Yeah. All right.
It was a quote. Like, if you watch the video, I guarantee you, you would
have an opinion on it. All right. Well, you know, I'll try to catch that before Under the Radar, and I'll try to get a vibe on it.
But like, I don't see that. I think he's looking for a huge payday, and I don't see the Twins like going in that direction personally.
Yeah, I don't. And he's just not that. He's actually a good defender, man. That guy's got a great arm. He's a better baseball player than he is fantasy baseball player. That's for sure. I want to ask you about one other prospect before we get into other stuff. Jackson Churio. So he goes from you created in my head Jackson Churio, and just the whole world went nuts on June something, and everyone's like, rah, rah, Jackson Churio, Churio, and it was just insane. Then he goes up to Double A and he struggles, right? But what is your comp? Give me your comp on Jackson Churio moving forward in baseball. How soon does he arrive? Is he up in 2023, 2024? I'd like to hear when he comes up and who's your comp? What's your comp?
You know, I am going to disappoint you here. I've really struggled to come up with a Churio comp. It's and I know you're doing XFL prep here because yep. I think I saw some. I think it was Todd Zola tweeting about how Churio is essentially like the best prospect that's been available in the XFL draft.
And we traded while, because
most of the time those guys are, you know, if you're going to be a top five, top 10 prospect, you're already rostered, right?
And we traded Jeff Erickson. Steve Gardner and I traded Jeff Carlos Correa in May for his first round pick because Jeff was going for the championship. So we got the first pick in the draft. So, and just by a skin of our teeth, Jeff came in second, which was impressive. But so now it's about Jackson Churio or Jackson Holiday. There's a couple of other guys, but Churio was, it's the Churio. I mean, to me, it's Churio. So you're not as excited about Churio as others?
No, I am. I just am kind of, I don't have a good comp for you. I just think he's so, it's just such a wide range of kind of, I could see him developing into just this like 35 homer guy who maybe doesn't stolen bases? Steal. I don't know, man. Like, he has enough speed to steal 30 bases. He might do enough damage that he kind of turns more into like a power hitter. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, when you're talking about he's 18 and a half right now. Like, he's in between his 18th and 19th birthdays. And it's just, to me, there's just so much unknowns with him, right?
I'll tell you what, unless we trade that pick, Jackson Churio is going to be on our team to go with Adley Rutschman and Corbin Carroll. And
it's a no brainer pick.
Okay. Yeah. I guess that's really at the end of the day, my question. But then I just want to ask you quickly about one other player in that system. What about Astori Ruiz? I mean, the numbers are eye popping, man. Mm-hmm. 70 stolen bases in the minors, 75 stolen bases, 25, 30 home runs. What are we supposed to do with that? And then he gets traded to Milwaukee. And there was one day, like one doubleheader, where he stole five bases in one game and hit a home run or something. And it's like, is this a fantasy absolute difference maker? Or is the hit tool, because I know you're the hit tool man, is the hit tool just not good enough for him to play?
I think the hit tool is fine. The power output in the big leagues is very much up for debate. Like, he could just be like a 8 homer type of guy who hits 9th. He could be a 15 homer guy who hits first.
But I mean, Bubba Thompson, how do you measure this? Bubba Thompson, who Nando DeFino, hey, Nando DeFino here, was killing about in April. This guy, Bubba Thompson, guys, Bubba Thompson, right? And then Bubba Thompson has a remarkable minor league season, steals 40 bases in the minors, hits, what did he hit? Like 28 home runs? Am I crazy? Isn't that what he had? Like,
he had 13 homers at AAA.
13 homers. Okay, I'm sorry. Then it was like half the season he had 13. So I was thinking like 26, 27 homers over the course of the full season. Comes up to the majors. I don't think, maybe hit one, maybe two. Yep. But won't that come with time? Won't that come with age in terms of dynasty assets?
Bubba Thompson's not without power. He has plenty of raw power. I'm more upset at Bubba Thompson's fantasy utility probably this year than any other players, because I just think he had absolutely no business being as productive as he was in the majors. And I am going to be fading the crap out of him next year. But I also was fading Jorge Mateo this year, and I was fading Cedric Mullins the year before. So, like, you know. That's just kind of my maybe it's a blind spot, but I just like Esteban Ruiz. I am extremely confident that he is a full grade better as a hitter than Bubba Thompson.
Gotcha. Okay. Good to know. Good to know. Cause he's another player that's on our fence.
So let's get to these, expert leagues here. Why don't we, start with the one we're both in, AL Labor. Huge congrats to Eno Saris. 115 points, I believe, out of 120 possible.
Dude, I called him last night. I called him last night and I just said, I feel like Roger Bannister, because last year I put up 110.5 and broke a record that had stood for, I don't know, 15 mm-hmm. years. No one had ever done it. And I was like, hey, I've got a record that's going to last a good long time. Nope. Eno just destroyed. Just hit a remarkable season. Tip of the hat. Ended up being a pretty good year. I'll take second place. Ended up with 89 points there.
Yeah, you were clear. There was some separation between Eno and you, and there was some separation between you and the rest of the field. So I think you did a hell of a job.
Couldn't catch him. It was really frustrating.
That league, I mean, if we're being honest, that league was just over after the auction, right?
You know, that league was over after the first fab pickup. That first fab pickup was unique because we had all these players and he picked up Anthony Rizzo for, I don't know, like $60 or something. And I didn't bid on anybody during that. I really wanted to have control over fab for the rest of the season. That was a mistake on my part. I think that my team would have been better had I invested earlier in the season and just played small ball the rest of the way, like most teams did. But I didn't want to do that. I didn't end up doing that, but I ended up having more fab than I needed. Eno Saris put on a brilliant performance and tip of the hat to him. Like I said, I called him last night on the phone and I was like, congrats, man. You blew us all away. And he did. He blew us all away.
And then you took down NL Tout, correct?
I did. And as we went into the final day, I gotta say that was the one that I was holding my breath on the most. Like that's the one that I think it was my first year in NL Tout. Fred Zinke left that league. I was lucky enough to get into that league this year. And I really wanted that. I really wanted that championship. It was great players in that league. Todd Zola's in that league. Phil Hertz, Wilderman and Pryor, those two, the three of us were pretty much fighting for the championship all season long. I had a good auction in that. I felt really good at that auction. After that auction, I was like, I think I can win with this team. And it was, value, man. And really knowing I took three stars, which I don't typically do, but I got, Freddie Freeman first for $35. I think I had him for 38 and at 35, I was like, I'm taking him. Then Manny Machado came up. And I got Manny Machado for $33 and I had him for 38 and I was like, I'm taking him. And then Mookie Betts I got for $37 and I had him for 42 and then only, and I took him. So I had those three that really carried me. And then some of the other good ones was Jesus Luzardo for like six, Jerkson Profar for three, Rowdy Tellez for nine, Taiwan Walker for four. And then some misses that didn't quite work out, but they weren't expensive misses. Marcus Stroman for 12 was fine. Carlos Rodon for 20 was really good. Edwin Diaz for 21 was really good. But it was the pickups. I was able to pick up Daniel Bard in the first week for like $44 out of 1,000. And Spencer Strider picked up in April. That same week that we picked him up in the main, which was huge. It was just huge.
Just getting Strider and Bard in an only, fab. I mean, that's a hell of a,
and Tanner Scott, I got, like just when he was just about to get the closer job, like just when he was taking it, it was like, you know, Floro was out and then Bender was going to be Bender. But then it looked to me like Scott was going to be the guy. So I got Scott and I got a big lead in saves, second to Michael Simeon in saves. So then I traded Bard, Kurt Cavalli and $45 fab to Tristan Cockcroft for Michael Harris right soon after Harris came up, because I needed the stolen bases. And that's how I won that was the difference. Not just the Harris thing, but just focusing. Christopher Morel I also picked up in NL Tout, which was really helpful for that run where he was so successful and added a lot of stolen bases. But it really came down to stolen bases at the end, and it was a real battle. The weird thing was at the end of the season, so Dussault and I were talking about the main event, and I was like, hey, can I ask you your advice on NL Tout? And he's like, sure, yeah. So we went over it, and he said to me, he said, you don't need wins. You're top of strikeouts. You're locked at wins. You really need to protect your ratios. I wouldn't start any starters for the next 2 weeks. And so I was just pulling. He was like, just be very selective with the starters you pick. I could have ended up with a higher score, frankly, if I had pitched this week, Taijuan Walker, who else was Jesus Luzardo. I sat this week, who had a ridiculous week. Sean Manaea had a ridiculous week. But I just wanted the win. I just wanted the win so bad. I really wanted that win. And I was really very grateful that it was a fight, a tip of the hat, especially to Phil Hertz, nicest guy. But you know, it means more than the main event to me, frankly.
And, I should say I finished fifth in AL Labor, finished third in Tout Wars Draft and Hold. Props to Vlad Sedler for winning that one. He was in first for pretty much the whole season.
Good player, man. Nice guy too.
You've won Labor, Tout, a main event, and Devil's Rejects, which you took down with Wilson Caraman this year. Before you get into that team, I think I was texting with Eno. He basically said something to the effect of, I just get depressed looking at Ian's roster and Devil's Rejects. And I was like, yeah, man, I wouldn't recommend looking at that.
Yeah. Wilson and I joined Wilson Caraman, who is one of my oldest friends in this industry and just a great guy. And we took on, I joined him a couple years ago, and it's been a battle because our first year was 2020. So it was like not a real season. We ended up in, I think, fourth place out of 20 teams. Then last year we thought we had it. We thought we built a good enough team. We ended up in third, close to second. You know, Greg got first with 183, and then Luke had 180, and then we had 177. And I really was like, it was really making me mad. I was like, I can't win this league. Freaking win. And so we really doubled down, and Greg tore out of the season. But we had made some trades. I remember, James, this is huge. This is actually a big moment. I made a trade in 2020 with Tom Trudeau, with Tom. We traded him Rafael Devers. He traded us Aaron Judge, Frankie Montas, and Justin Turner, who then we flipped right before this season to Ian Riley, Justin Turner for Nate Lowe, right before the season. I called you and I went, we just made this trade. He goes, yeah. And you said, yeah, I just saw. I said, what do you think? And I was waiting for you to go, great trade. And you said, I'll tell you this. If you win a championship in the next 2 or 3 years, it's a really good trade. If you don't win a championship in the next 2 or 3 years, you lose the trade. And I went, damn. Really? And you're like, yeah. And I said, all right. And I got off the phone with you and I went, you're right. He's right. He's right. Because Devers is 23. Judge is 29, 28. That's 5 years of, you know, Montas, whatever, you know, Turner is going to help us for a minute. So we did. We won it this year. It's really, it was really awesome. It was a really awesome feeling. And then everyone was celebrating and cheer, you know, last week on WhatsApp. You know, Luke reached out and said, hey, congratulations, a dominating win. We were up to like 193 points out of 200. And then Greg just in the last week, we got really scared because Greg just started climbing. And all of a sudden we were up by like 3 points at one point over the weekend. And Wilson and I are just like, this would suck. But then it normalized Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. I have to say it's really pretty good. It was a really good feeling. Really good feeling and great to do with friends, man. I'm a big fan of partnering with your friends. Just now, James got Todd, so there's no time for me and James anymore, sadly. But partnering is just, it's just great fun because you get to enjoy the wins together. You know, that's part of the fun of it is like, just a little texting between each other going, hey, look what we did. And then hopping on the phone and being like, yep, that's what we did. It's just really fun. It's really,
well, I think
fantasy baseball is fun.
I mean, I think you got to find the right kind of combination for a good partnership. Mm-hmm. I don't think you would have had as good a year this year if you'd been partnering with me instead of Rob Mershak, because I would have fought you on a lot of your biggest hits in the draft. So like, I think you want to be really kind of aligned on a lot of the majority of your targets, right? Like, you don't want to be,
yeah,
you know, like, you take one, I'll take one.
No,
you want to be kind of really
there has to be in. There has to be a captain of the ship and then someone who's there to say, captain, you're messing this up, rethink this. I think that's fair. I think it's very fair. I think that's true. And I think, but you and I were pretty good at that. We were pretty good at that. But
no, well, it was. Right. I think we were a really good combo in Dynasty because I could just do the prospects and you could do the trades, and that was all we really needed. But
I gotta tell you though, Dynasty it's lost a little bit of the juice for me. It just has. The redraft experience is so great. Still in, I mean, Devil's Rejects is a dynasty league, and it's going to be hard every year. Like, you and Eno, your team is going to come back. You guys are growing the team. Eno's excited about it. You're excited about it. Greg is not going anywhere. Luke's not going anywhere. Trudeau's not going anywhere. Captain Spaulding's not going anywhere. Like, everybody, there's just good teams. Jeff Pontus. Is it Pontus, right? Or is it Ponce? Ponce. Sorry, Jeff. Yeah, you know. Ralph Lifshitz, so the man. But anyway, it was really fun. It was a really fun experience.
Yeah, Greg Wellmeyer is a great player.
Great player.
He's taken me to the woodshed on some dynasty trades back in the day. I do want to, before we sign off, I do want to congratulate the prospect Itch from Razzball for winning the Highlander. Smata was 0.5 points behind him in that tough this year, so. Really close finish there. Ian, do you got anything else you want to mention before we turn our sights to 2023?
No, that's good. That's good. I mean, you know, it was a really good season. It was a really fun season. Rob and I also took down GDD this year, which is a really good league in New York with like Frankie Stanfill and Derek Carty, Ariel Cohen are a team. They came in second. Dave Miller came in third. DVR is in that league. He came in fourth. Frankie Stanfill, as I said, with his partner, Greg. It's just a really strong group. And we did take Judge, and we got Julio Rodriguez for $5 in the auction. And we're not going to get Julio Rodriguez for $5 in the auction again for the rest of his career, I would think.
I don't think so.
No. So it was and not perfect. Look, DL1. Rob and I we'd won four out of the last five champions, and Cushing came back, and we were in the lead until Monday, 2 days ago. And then he passed us. He tied us on Tuesday and then won the league by 2 points on Wednesday. So a huge tip of the cap to like my old nemesis, Alex Cushing, who just had a baby. So I'm just so happy for him. And he's just a brilliant player, and he masterfully came back. He had no, you know, I was going to say he had no business winning that, but he did. And he did. And he earned it every step of it. So, you know, it's sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, and sometimes it rains. Think about that.
Well, this has been a lot of fun. I really enjoyed the Under the Radar pod this year, that we don't get to chat on the phone as much as we used to, but it kind of feels like, at least it's nice to hear you once a week.
Hey man, same feeling is absolutely mutual. And maybe we'll do a draft champions, just you and I this year, just for the fun of it. We'll just throw it together. So the problem is now that we compete against each other. I mean, now you're in AL Labor and you're staying in AL Labor, and you were great this year in AL Labor. The standings didn't show what a strong job you did. And it's next year.
I finished in the right spot in the standings. I think I had some really good hits on the pitching side.
Yes, you did. Kind
of theme of my season, but just didn't deserve to finish higher than fifth, given my offense. So, well, I gotta improve on Fab next year. I was kind of dead set on landing a second closer in Fab in that league, and probably spent like 40% of my budget trying to do it. And I should have just plugged Clay Holmes into my lineup second week of April instead of like last week of May. I've got a lot of improving to do in that league. I'm really looking forward to taking it on next season.
But thank you for having, listen, man, it's an honor for me. Honestly, I know people really love and respect you for a very good reason. And I'm always honored to come on your show, and it's really great. So I appreciate you, man. And thank you to the listeners. RotoWire, I loved my years at RotoWire. It was so much fun working with you, working with Clay, working with Jeff, working with Derek at the time. And now if you want to check us out at the Athletic, the Athletic Fantasy Baseball Network, the Athletic Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I never get that right. You can catch us. We're on the Wednesday show typically. Just look, and it says Ian, Nando, and Derek make loud noises at each other. But it's really fun. And
we've got a ton of crossover listeners. But if you're not listening to that pod, you definitely should be. The Athletic Fantasy Baseball Show. Ian does a great job. Always love chatting with you, man. Hopefully see you maybe in a month, but maybe not.
I'm doing what I can to make that happen. I have a reservation right now. And so now it's just about making sure that I can come, but work is very crazy right now. And it might be tough.
You're super busy. And yeah, really appreciate you taking the time for this, man.
Hey buddy,
but we'll catch up soon one way or another.
Yeah. I'll talk to you soon. And thanks again for having me on, man.
Yeah. This has been the last prospect podcast for a while. I will be manning the helm for our off-season podcast again this year, but I'm going to be on vacation for a little bit here. But look for those either late October, very early November, and then we'll be doing those once a week. Thanks for everyone who listened all season. Really appreciate Ian Khan joining me for this. James Anderson signing off for now.
See ya. Thanks again, man.